Should we do that instead? Should we? Do I have to talk? Yeah. Okay. So I just thought that was a really good song, and I was reading this. Have you all got the manifesto in your hearts for the church? Yeah. Yes, Tom has. So today I've got to keep it real. I'm going to do some mistakes, and I'll say sorry. We'll have some fun. We're going to hug. Well, I didn't plan that. Okay, but maybe afterwards. Second chances. I think there's 70. What's the quote in the scripture? 70 chances? 70 times 7. I'm taking that one, not that one. We do happy. We do forgiveness. We do really loud. We do love. So that's the disclaimer. Sorry, the manifesto before I start. But I thought it would be good just to, you know, out in the world, let's say, not just the church, we talk about mountains. And there's a beautiful song, and we just heard it. And to me, that speaks of relationship with mountains. It speaks of valleys as well. And so the talk today, Jan, if you could put it on, that would be great. He was a mountain man. So we're going through a series, Amazed by Jesus, a book by Simon Ponsonby, and he was a mountain man refers to the fact that Jesus was a mountain man. So when I read the chapter, it felt to me like I just wanted to explore a range of options here. So there's a range of options with regards to the type of music that we experience, the type of experiences we have in the mountains, but also in our life, we can have metaphorical mountains. Before I go into the book, I'm just going to, if you could just click on, Janet, mention C.S. Lewis. Because we've all got to, you know, I know everyone says you've got to include scripture in your talk, but I always feel like I have to include C.S. Lewis. The sweetest thing in all my life has been the longing to reach the mountain, to find the place where all the beauty came from. All my life, the God of the mountain has been wooing me. I really feel that. And I know there's a number amongst a number, both men and women, who absolutely are so much more expert than me in mountains, but love mountains, really love mountains. So this is C.S. Lewis. So if we just tab on, Jan. Just want a bit of a straw poll here. Who's been up a mountain? Anybody? Small hill. Yeah, we could get into definition. I was researching. There is definitions. There's definitely something in the world where people say, what about mountains? That's lovely. It's probably who hasn't been up a mountain? Okay, so we've all been up a mountain. Great. If we just move on. Why did you go up a mountain? Anybody?
So that I can see more. So I can get a view on the world.
See more, get a view? Cloudy. Anybody else got any views on why they go up a mountain? Challenge. Sorry, challenge?
Exercise.
Because it's there. You can feel free. What was it like when you were up the mountain? Well, it was foggy in Ross's world. Cold.
Following in the wheels of heroes.
Yes, following on the wheels of heroes. Anyone else?
Terrifyingly awful.
Oh. What was that all about?
Well, because you made me go up Triven and I had a panic attack and nearly had to be rescued because it was so high. So it was quite scary.
You said you weren't going to mention that. I'm doing my mountain leader assessment. That really won't go down well if we hear about that. So, yeah, so this idea of he was a mountain man, I just want to provoke you to say, well, we are mountain people. Something about the mountain does draw us. Sometimes we get it slightly wrong, so we maybe need a hill. We need different types of mountains. physically, but equally in our lives, we are going through a journey where we actually go to the mountains. And at times that's amazing, at times it's foggy. And it's that journey that often we find actually moves us forward in a different way, which I'm going to touch on in a minute. But also, what you have to do before you go up a mountain is probably go through some valleys. And that's hard. You know, life is hard. If anyone thinks it isn't, please come and see me because I'd like their answer. Life is hard. And we are going to have challenging circumstances. Now, we select to go up a mountain, and it is hard. It's a journey. But in life, we often are going through mountains, and we don't realize we're actually having to go through some valleys to get there first. So we have a number of people in the church who are mountain people, and I couldn't get Jesus, so I got the next best thing in my mate, Alex. He is a mountain man. Pretty close. Thank you, Ben. You look quite young there. So I think it's important that we just have a quick 5 minutes on what do you take and why? So let's see, Alex. Do you want to bring out some of your gear? I've got a smaller rucksack than you. So what have you got there?
What have I got there? Well, like you know, Dave, in mountaineering, there's mountains and mountains, so everybody has its own challenge, its own mountains to climb. And in Britain, you've got some small mountains, some big mountains.
Yeah.
So yeah. I've climbed a few in Britain, but mainly in the Alps. And when you ask me, can you help me today? I say, yeah, I can. But they referred me to what we did together in the Alps. Okay, so that's where my heart is back to the Alps, to where I'm from. So I will then go through my bag and tell you what do I take with me in a mountain. So I love rock climbing. Some people know that. I've climbed with Matt. I've walked with Dave. Climbed as well with you, to be fair. So we take helmet with us. Most of the things we take in mountains is in the hope we never use them, basically, because it's safety equipment. But your head is what keeps you going most of the time. So you need to protect your head, not because the mountains are dangerous themselves, they are, but because there are other people on the mountains as well, and they can cause you more problem than the mountain itself by dropping stones on you or anything. You know, when you go, you've got to you choose your starting hours, but you never know when you come back. So it's always good to have a head torch with you. Okay.
Preparation. Everything.
Yeah. Prep is best. Definitely. Then some eye protection in some sort. I've got sunglasses on a day like today. Brilliant. But in the mountains, it's always sunny. Even if you can't see it, you will feel it when you come back home. If you don't wear sun protection, sunglasses, you can really become blind. If some people, it happened, if you get snow blindness or any injuries. As a backup, it's not windy yet in the mountain, but it will be at some point. So you can definitely have a backup as a pair of goggles because sunglasses are not enough. Good. Small first aid kit. Small, because if something goes really wrong, you don't need that. It's gone beyond. So it's just for the small things. Well, I've got lots of things. Shall I carry on? Gloves, because it will be cold at some point. For what we did together then, Dave. That is nice. When you get this out of the bag, you know it's going to be a good day. It doesn't matter what happens. It's going to be a good day. So this, you use that as kind of walking stick, if you like, because you tend to walk uphill, so you can reach the slope on the floor. Like when it's flat, it's not much use, but on a hill, it's useful. But it's mainly a safety device. Again, if you do fall off, that is one of the only way to stop you from sliding down the hill, the mountains, if it's icy, snowy. So that is your let go.
Is there a rope that we should use?
There's a line somewhere. There's a rope somewhere, yes. So you've got different type of ropes. This one is very much for, I will say, summer walking. So small guideline. If you were to go with a friend is not happy in where you are, so you may use that as a guideline to help out the person. But again, it's an emergency. You should plan where you go with and take the right person with you. But you never know. So
brilliant.
Yeah.
So I've got my talk.
Oh, yes.
In my rucksack. Right. So I better get
you
that
like
out.
Reading, yes. I've been in the mountains with you. Yes. Lots of reading.
Oh, how dare you. Do you have one of these?
No,
not don't, today.
Don't no. To stick to the path, really.
We need a compass. I've got some waterproofs there.
Oh, me too, waterproof.
You got some waterproofs. So what else have I got? Gloves. You had gloves. You didn't have one of those, though, did you?
Well, that's posh, that is. No, I don't. No. What is it?
It's like a warm...
Balaclava. Balaclava.
Rescue bag, eh?
Bin bag as well. Sledge. Anything.
Or more books. Just in case I need to refer and just look that's it up. Just...
It's too late to learn when you when you're in the mountains.
Have you got a map?
No, again. In France, we only go out when the sun is out, so it's true.
And then I got a bag of tricks in there.
Oh, see, yes.
I got a first aid kit as well.
Of you, yes.
Yeah, towel.
The neck, lots of shoelaces rope. There. Nice.
You had a rope. I've got a fipping rope. Look at that.
Washing line.
That's going to save me.
Oh,
I can make my cup of tea.
I think you must have to show that as well. Now.
Sorry. Yes, you have to have the right bag.
That's when
but
you get
yes,
to the
lots
best.
Of gear. No idea. I mean, anything else?
Oh. I've got more because we've got the essential to take with us. You're always going to need that.
Oh, baguettes. Wonderful.
Tend to have lunch at the top.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Yeah.
Warm layer.
Warm layer.
It was a bit messy. That was in the loft. What else have I got? Over trousers, because, again, in the high mountains, you need something to protect yourself. You need a bit of a... Yeah.
Oh.
That goes with lunch.
Ah. Shh.
That's a must.
We don't tell him. We don't tell him that.
Use as painkiller as well. That's why you keep the first aid bag. On your partner, you know. Oh. I mean, if any. Oh yeah, that's boring.
Water
yeah, just for coffee because wine doesn't go well with coffee. And then yes, harness obviously. That is another thing that keeps you safe and goes with the rope. But what came in my mind when we were together, the rope is something that keeps you safe, but also can put your partner into danger.
Yeah.
Because the rope is only good if you got some anchors to clip the rope onto. So when we were together on the Mont Blanc with Dave, there's this line between you, you've got maybe 30 meters between yourself because you have crevasses. So if your partner falls into a crevasse,
you let him go.
You need enough.
Oh, sorry, you
space,
need enough.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, you need enough space to stop your partner from falling down and take you in. When you go a bit steeper slope, you need some anchors to stop you falling down as well. So the rope is a sign of symbol of safety, but also finding out some time. Maybe it's best to go both solo, no protection, and you look after yourself for the time being. I look after myself, and then we rope up when it's safe to
That's
protect
right.
yourself.
Yeah. That's right.
But it's, yeah, it's a good. As a team effort, it's fantastic because you have
it is,
to make
it?
Those decisions.
It is.
And you can't make the decision on your own. If I'm happy with that, are you happy with that? Oh, crampons. I couldn't find my set, so I found an old one.
One works, though, doesn't it?
One.
If you have one.
Yeah. Well, yeah. You can hop up and... So one is better than none.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
But this one is... Ooh, yes.
Old. Yes.
Yeah. That's about it, really.
No, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's really good.
A few more bits,
so
but, yeah.
Let's clap and thank Alex. So, a lot of prep. So if you just move on to the next slide. Oh, we've gone just a bit too far. Sorry? One before, please. Yep. It's a big bag. So a lot of prep. Where are you going to go? What's your fuel? route marking and safety. We've heard a lot about some of the safety aspects. If we then move on. Big thing in the mountains is knowing where you're going. And, oops, let's just go back, that's it. So one of the things to do when you're out in the mountains is point, so that you know where you're going. That's a mate of mine, Russ, when we're on one of the hills in North Wales. But also, and me and Rachel had this chat, didn't we? In Fuerteventura, waymarking. Do we all know what waymarking and cairns are? They help us in different times to feel confident we know where we're going. We can't totally rely on them. Yeah, so there are signals. And I think that, to me, speaks very often of the Christian life I've had over 37 years, is there are some principles in our lives that come from the Word of God. The armor of God talks about the Word being one of those key bits of armor. So we look in the Bible and we want the answer. And sometimes we don't find the answer, but we find a cairn. We find a way forward. Yeah? And this is a principle of the mountains and being in the mountains. And when we look at a couple of slides in a minute, you'll see Hebron. And I can imagine that Jesus, when he was going up Hebron, allegedly, so there's a bit of controversy around that one, but when he was going up there, there might have been a few cairns to get him up the top. So if you just move on. After, it's always good afterwards to just see how many socks are used. So being an ambassador in the olden days for 10,000 mile socks, I had to send them a photo after a long expedition of all the socks I'd used and the condition they were in. So they gave me 8 free socks. Sorry. So you have to learn from that, clean, start again, refuel, reflect. And again, that talks to me after the mountain, after the amazing time or the thing we've done, the achievement we've had in our life, do we actually slow down enough to clean up, to reflect, to review, and to really think forward what our lessons were being in the mountains? If you move on. So it's about learning for me. It's about doing things with people out in the mountains and being on my own. It's always there as well. I've had a number of so-called failures, but they've not been failures. When I actually look at them, they've really created the sense of what really is important the next time I go and what I can learn from it. The mountain is always there, is something that Alex and me had lots of chats about. When I got that eye infection at the top of Mont Blanc de Tacle, and we decided, no, we weren't going to forge on, we were going to turn back. It was really important to listen to the signals and the senses. Do we do that in life enough? Yeah, do we look for the success, the summit? Do we get summit fever? You know, a lot of people who get summit fever don't come back down. So, failure is, I hate the word failure. In my life, it's about the learning from both things that are challenging and things that apparently on the surface are successful. And we've got to take that and say to ourselves, some things others can go off and do, the mountain's always going to be there. We're going to take that option. On many, many races, many, many events, many, many just training options, I've been out and I've thought, do you know what? I better look after myself here. I better just hunker down and look after myself. And sometimes we think, no, we need to be social, we need to be out there, we need to be with people. Sometimes we've got to be on our own and we've got to forge our own path and not go with the group. You know, when I did that in one race, I was in an hour before those people I was going to follow. They'd gone off track. Okay, next slide. Just something I'm wrestling with the last few weeks. What do we do in our week? What do we do in our week? And I'm going to just unpack a little bit now about the Amazed by Jesus provocation when I read it, the chapter on He is a Mountain Man. But I want to think, because I'm trying to unpack this. Do you know, often we focus on, and I've put two blocks there, can you imagine what they are? Yeah. So we focus on the thing here. And yet there's 166 other things that we've got to cope with. And He is a Mountain Man is about, I think, ultimately trying to focus on what He was trying to help even the disciples just focus on. And it's about the 168 hours and how we're doing them and how we're being them, not just the 2 hours. Next slide. So one of the things that Jesus did was He went up a mountain with His disciples. In Mark, it talks about after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with Him and led them up a high mountain where they were all alone. And I can imagine on His mountain leader assessment, He probably didn't do some of the schoolboy errors I did in the training and the like. I could imagine He would get the gold badge. Do you know what I mean? He'd be the super student. And He led them up a high mountain. And He would have gone in a certain way with the way marks like I talked about. But He would have been prepared as well for what He was doing up on that mountain. Next slide, please. And what He did up there was very profound. He actually revealed His true nature. And one of the things that Simon Ponsonby talks about is the disciples would have known that He was a teacher and they would have known Him as a woodworker. They would have known Him as a wonder worker. But they really saw Him in that transfiguration. But they really saw Him. Just sit with that a minute. But they really saw Him. So when the transfiguration occurred, they really saw Him. So is there a case that we often have got a mask on? We often are defined as a steelworker, I'm a carpenter, but I'm not a carpenter, if you know what I mean, a DIY person. Oh, Dave will be okay with that. But actually, we're not seen fully for who we are. And it was at that moment in the Transfiguration that God was saying to the world, there is a different place that we can exist and live in as individuals. Next slide, please, John. It's amazing. His clothes became radiant, intensely white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. Just imagine being on top of the mountain. You're on top of this mountain with your mate, who's amazing. And he becomes even more amazing. And he becomes even more amazing. And you're thinking, in Matthew, Peter says, should we build a bothy? Should we keep it here? Because you talk to your mates. Next slide. And they can imagine it. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses who were talking with Jesus. You were talking to your mates. Maybe the next time, if we build a bothy, we can lock it in. He kept company with the champions of heaven. Who do we surround ourselves with? Who do we live with? Who do we have to live with? But who do we choose also to have around us in our lives? Next slide. And then it was confirmed. And then it was confirmed by God. This is my son whom I love. Listen to him. Listen to him. And Jan, if you move on. They then come down. Often I've come down from And says, I'll ask a few of you afterwards, where do you think that mountain is? It's an interesting angle. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead, and there was probably some sort of exposition at the time of what that actually meant, what was going to go on in a few weeks' time, in a few months' time. What was going to go on another mountain, on a mountain we've heard about, if you move on, called Golgotha. And this gets me, because this is the heart of the proposition that Jesus befriended me with 37 years ago. I'd sort of known about it in my upbringing in a Catholic faith. I'd read about it. I'd absorbed it. I knew there was something going on. But it wasn't until in June 87 that I really confronted the reality over a period of weeks of what the word was saying to my heart and to my soul. So, another journey up the mountain that didn't end, it would appear, so well, but for humanity, the propitiation of sins, the ability to stand in the gap for us, on our behalf, in a realm that we don't understand and in a way that we don't necessarily play out every day, is there for us to anchor in on, to harness in on. And at times we're roped up, and at times we're not roped up in life. But Jesus, with us, having done what he did, having taken our sins away, and by the grace of God, stood there for us, gives us the ability to just move that next millimeter and do messy church and do messy life and be real and be authentic. So my encouragement to you today, if you move on, is be transformed. That transfiguration story is about transformation. And there's words and Greek words that I studied preparing for the talk, metamorphosis. But ultimately, when I thought about it, it comes down to the renewal of the mind that we have. We've got the heart, we've got the spirit going on, and then our mind, and they're all connected. And we have to take captive our thoughts. We have to grab that renewal of our mind. And we have to say to ourselves, let's put on the armor of God. And the armor of God includes, it doesn't, but it does, for me anyway, friendship, relationship, mentoring, discipleship. You know, if we are to move through into what Jesus has done for us on that cross at the top of Golgotha, then it means we can't stay there. We can't be apprentices. And to become what Jesus wants us to be seen as, in that transfigured way, somehow we have to capture moving through that apprenticeship and becoming reliant on Jesus and ignoring the crowd and taking decisions that affect our self-talk and the way we move forward and our conversation with our Father. Because for me, if we move forward, it's about living in the real world. For me, going into the mountains isn't just something that I do as a hobby. It is a real place where I have real conversations, either with myself or with my friends or with people I just don't know and have come across. It's not all about the summit. It is something of a journey. That's not trite. It is a journey. How do we prepare for that? Where are our valleys? Who have we got walking with us? All questions. And the thing I'd like to leave you with is, let's lift our eyes up and be amazed by what Jesus has done by being a mountain man. Thank you.
Thanks, Dave.